Hello, my name is Brian Ivashelsky, and welcome to the Over the Counter podcast. Today, we are joined by Vin Gupta, former chief medical officer with Amazon Pharmacy and renowned medical analyst for NBC News. We had the opportunity to interview Dr. Gupta live at the National Council for Prescription Drug Programs 2025 annual conference. He joined Drug Topics to discuss the future of pharmacy and the connectivity necessary to drive future healthcare initiatives.
From your perspective as a clinician, what is one way pharmacists can build trust with patients to combat social determinants of health?
Pharmacists are about as embedded a clinician in somebody's community as anybody, more so probably than physicians, than nurses, and they are truly the front line. And so when I think about social determinants of health, basic awareness on what actually might be harming somebody, you know, in their lived experience, often there's so many assumptions I think a lot of us make on the clinical delivery side about, oh, well, that person knows that they're breathing in poor air or that they shouldn't eat that, or, you know, they should be exercising more. But we shouldn't be making those assumptions. And when I think about what pharmacists are well positioned to do, I see this all the time within the four walls of a hospital. They're really, really well positioned to do patient counseling on helping people understand the circumstances in which they're living, how it's impacting their body, and drawing and promoting useful awareness. And so I think pharmacists as healthcare evangelizers, pharmacists as individuals that can promote health, wellness, longevity, well beyond the ways in which I think we popularly conceive of pharmacists as, hey, they're going to talk to you about side effects and drug-drug interactions. What medications are you on? We highly underutilize the abundant talent and thoughtfulness of this cadre of workers. And I think that has to change. Not all, the least of which, because they're potentially as accessible as it gets. They're in communities across the country, and people like them. And I think we should take advantage of that.
So what tools do pharmacists need to more effectively engage in remote patient care?
It depends on what we mean when we talk about remote. Remote patient care can mean so many different things based on the use case. And so if this is post-acute care, like we talked about in the talk, hospital at home, the question becomes, you know, are pharmacists set up for success because they have the data inputs in place because the patient's properly utilizing everything around them in the at-home environment for connected care? So I think a lot of this it's heavily dependent on the infrastructure in place and the use case. If patients know how to utilize and are willing to utilize and share data from devices that they might be utilizing or other diagnostics, I think it is contingent upon pharmacists, just like it's contingent upon medical doctors, MAs, everything in between, to take advantage of those data flows and to use them in a thoughtful way to make clinical decisions. The problem here is that we don't have a scalable approach. And that's where I think about what NCPDP is doing with Experian and the UPI. That is creating the infrastructure to allow us to have data flows from discrepant sources to crosstalk, to make sense, and for then a physician or a pharmacist to say, hey, oh gosh, I'm actually seeing something in one instance of care here being recorded about somebody's biometrics, and that it's now crosstalking into their EHR, maybe with their primary care doc, and I can utilize data flows from one source, couple it from data flows from another source because we have the UPI in place, thanks to NCPDP and Experian, and that's going to allow pharmacists potentially to make better decisions. Without that infrastructure in place, you're not going to have interoperability, you're not going to be able to do any of this. And so a cool device might be innovative and sexy to talk about, but it's effectively useless. So I think what NCPDP has done with Experian to create the UPI, that is the necessary foundation for everything that I just talked about from a diagnostic perspective to actually take root and to be utilized.
Awesome. Yeah. So diving a little deeper into that digital innovation, how can the pharmacy profession embrace digital innovation and maintain patient data privacy?
Gosh, you know, I'd like to think that everything that is available right now is HIPAA hardened. And so anything that's medical grade that I've seen, you know, the innovations I talked about for longitudinal monitoring of high blood pressure, they're all HIPAA hardened. Patient data privacy is not an issue. I think the problem here is people don't think that. They think that if I share my data with, say, a big tech company that might be providing healthcare services, or if I'm getting my scan, I hear this often, if I get a blood pressure scan on an app that my employer is subsidizing free of cost through a subscription model, that my employer is somehow going to see the results of that and it's going to affect my health insurance premiums. There is not trust that this data is not shared. And even if it's not shared, and so what I would say is all the innovations that I've seen that have to pass muster here in the United States have to meet rules and regulations that are HIPAA hardened. The problem here is, in my opinion, less cybersecurity risks and data leaks. It's more, do people actually trust that that's the truth? And right now we're losing that battle and people don't trust it. And I think we have to be honest about that. We have not had honest conversations about what's working, what's not, when it comes to diagnostics especially. And we have not had honest conversations about why people don't utilize certain things that we would say, hey, this is the next wave. And I think often it's about perception.
What does the future of a smart pharmacy look like? I guess kind of putting all those digital innovation things in one.
The future pharmacy with pharmacists that are so capable of doing so many things, you know, effectively managing the care of patients. So management, not just dispensing. And when I think about what the wraparound pharmacy looks like to support that modern pharmacist, I think it's one where I'm biased. I even though I don't work there anymore, I think the future of pharmacy is going to be decentralized. I think brick and mortar has its place, but people don't want to wait in retail lines for 13 hours, which is on average what they do. And I do think that there is a version of a pharmacy where dispensing is centralized through mail order. Mail order becomes more, you're seeing traditional brick and mortar pharmacies heavily invest in it, not just sort of new entrants, for a reason, because it allows pharmacists to do more of what pharmacists are great at, which is talked about medication reconciliations, opportunities for deep prescribing, allowing people to understand new avenues for their care. If maybe they're on a GLP, when can they safely deprescribe off the GLP and perhaps consider other treatment options that might be less expensive? Pharmacists can do so much, but if they're spending most of their time dispensing and doing drug-drug interactions, less of their time actually flexing their mind and their clinical expertise, we're never going to achieve the future vision of the modern pharmacist. But I think that's where you need the future smart pharmacy. To me, fundamentally looks different. It's decentralized. It's less brick and mortar. I think that has to be the case so that we free up our limited supply of pharmacists to be able to do more. And number two, what I really want to see is there a future world where we have better inputs on adherence? Because right now our inputs on adherence are patient days covered with medications. Do they have a 30-day supply of lisinopril? Great. That means they're taking their medication as they should. And we know that's not the case. Just having picked up a refill does not mean you're taking the medication at home as you should.
Yeah.
So there are ways, innovative ways to be thinking about actually at the point of taking the tablet into the mouth, how can we better, more in a finer detail, characterize medication adherence with a lot of work to do there.
For sure. And yeah, obviously with the smart pharmacy, you don't need to really be into pharmacy industry to really know that it's leaning that way. So a couple more questions. I don't want to keep you too long, but how can pharmacists use patient generated data, such as from wearables, home monitoring devices, you touched on a little bit in your session, to provide more personalized care?
At the end of the day, if we're talking about CAR T therapy at home, which I think pharmacists can help prescribe and manage, or if we're talking about initiating something like GLP, what are people talking about? Those types of things, specialty medications, new therapies. Obviously, GLPs has become the dominant topic from a therapeutic standpoint. At the end of the day, not having to rely on just patient-reported symptoms and patient-reported data, but being able to rely on hard data on biometrics, vital sign data, to look for hints of maybe somebody is not doing well, signs of sepsis, if maybe we're with an infection, or signs of a drug reaction by looking at their heart rate trend. Incredibly helpful information for both a clinician, whether that clinician's an MD or whether they're a pharmacist, to maybe make changes in drug dosing or to completely pivot. And so when I think about what RPM can do and what connected care can do for better decisions on prescribing, deprescribing, dose adjustments, pivoting away from therapies entirely, I think it's vital. It's better data to make a more thoughtful decision. So to me, I'm very sanguine about what this means for better care at the point of need, especially if it's done in a distributed model where a pharmacist is weighing in virtually. You need that data to make more smart, informed decisions, especially in the absence of a physical exam.
What structural changes are most urgently needed to improve U.S. healthcare outcomes, particularly in areas like maternal mortality and preventable hospitalizations?
Listen, yeah, I think part of it is we have such an opportunity, if we're being honest, about patient education, public health education, in a way that people will listen to it, to then help tackle problems like maternal mortality, the things that you just highlighted. The fact that these are problems still, you know, some of it is access, of course, I'm not going to say that. Some of it is equity and access to care, but not all of it. And I think a lot of people don't utilize the care that they have at their disposal right now, which is then allowing us to have these ridiculous conversations, I think, about rolling back things like Medicaid, other things. Suffice it to say, from what I have seen, as some of the that often talks about public health issues to the public, there is a huge gap between what I think we think they know sitting in healthcare and what they actually know and engage with. And until we start to wrestle with different ways to reach them, by the way, most people in the public are not getting their information from the CDC website anymore. Maybe 10, 15 years ago, that would diffuse down. They're not doing that anymore. They're getting it from their favorite influencer, from a podcast, on social, and that's impacting the way, or doing their own search queries on google.com. That is impacting then their urgency with which they seek care, whether they seek care at all, and how they view the medical establishment. And largely, it's probably with distrust. And so I do think we have to be much more aggressive when it comes to thinking about ways we can reach people, and probably in ways that I think traditionally were judged by academia and others as being less than. Oh, it's not a published paper. Oh, it's on Harrison's. Oh, we're not posting on the CDC website. It's less than. That's got to go out the window now. We can't judge the ways in which people receive and get their information, which, by the way, is very different than 10 years ago.
For sure, yeah. And that's another whole discussion that we could definitely get into. But one more question before we go. I really appreciate you taking the time. So in your keynote session today, you brought up NCPDP's UPI, which is now PEI. Can you tell us how that's impacted your work personally and how it fits into Connect Care?
Yeah. To me, it's where it's been possible. I've seen this turned on in specific clinics, specific health systems. If it were not for the PEI, for NCPD's work with Experian to enable data interoperability for multiple different instances of care, my care, when it comes to, take a patient in my pulmonary clinic with COPD that uses wearable devices, that has opted into this type of sort of data sharing agreement, I'd be making decisions based on a framework of care that, you know, existed 15, 20 years ago. Oh, I got to wait for them to come in every 3 months or 6 months. I got to wait and, it's their Meads notebook with how many steps they walked on a specific day, all sort of hand documented. It's shocking. In many parts of the country, that's still what happens. But in places that are actually leveraging what NCPDP has enabled with Experian, data interoperability from multiple different sources, whether it's wearable devices, et cetera, allowing us to get a full holistic picture of a patient's true past medical history, their current ongoing challenges, and all the data flows that sort of accompany that, it makes us smarter. It makes me able to care for that patient with COPD with much more precision and rigor than relying on a Mead textbook and sort of their patient recall. Hey, this is what the last 6 months have looked like. No, in fact, I can get a daily readout of that if I wanted to, or a summary readout of using new Gen AI tools. So it's dramatically shaped our care of patients with complex disease where this type of infrastructure has been turned on.
Awesome. Well, that's all I have for you today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.